You can still expect the same delicious food from Miss Kimmel's original cookbook, and they're giving St. Louis more ways to enjoy. Come out and enjoy the patio, set up perfectly for the season with heaters so you can enjoy the nightly live music. You can enjoy the ambiance and the finest Italian food in the area in three socially distanced dining rooms. And you can dig in with all your Kimmel's favorites during happy hour, 3:30 to 8:30 every night, with deals on drinks and apps. That's Kimmel's Chop House, 323 Westport Plaza Drive. Are you searching for someone that can help you market your business online? You need to call St. Louis Digital Media. Locally owned and operated, they are your one-stop shop for web design, search engine optimization, Google Ads, social media marketing, and more. We here at 590 have used their services for years and couldn't be happier. Get started today by calling St. Louis Digital Media at 314-200-5592 for a free consultation, or visit them online at stldigitalmedia.com.
Come enjoy the crisp fall air at Nilo, the Winchester 640-acre hunting and shooting oasis just 45 minutes from St. Louis. For nearly 70 years, Nilo has been one of the most premier outdoor destinations in the country for upland hunting and sporting clays. Now is the time to book a hunt for you and your guests, and come shoot on select Wednesdays and Saturdays from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. With other times available for reservation, just call 618-466-0613 or visit them at NILOFarms.com.
Winning season returns at MyBookie. Winning season means doubling your first deposit. At MyBookie, winning season means hitting all your parlays and props with your feet up, watching your team trounce their rivals. Invest in your intuition. Use promo code KFNS and double your first deposit. New players get up to $1,000 in free play, designed to add more excitement to the sports you love and the games you bet. Use promo code KFNS and double your first deposit. Your winning season begins today, only at MyBookie.
Don't mess with big box stores or unreliable delivery from out of state when it comes to the PPE that you need. Instead, work with Marco Bertarelli of family-owned local staple Bertarelli Cutlery and Supply. Masks, hand sanitizer, disposable gloves, thermoscanners, and more. Bertarelli has it all. They even cut plexiglass to your exact needs so your business can get back to serving the community. Contact Bertarelli Cutlery and Supply today by emailing Marco at BertarelliCo.com or calling 314-664-4
It's tough keeping up with the evolving technology of today's business environment. GFI Digital has you covered, offering the latest in copiers, managed print, and customized IT solutions for every business need. At GFI Digital, we make technology simple.
See the USA in your Chevrolet. America's asking you to call. Drive your Chevrolet through the USA. America's the greatest land of all.
Yes, it is so true. America is the greatest land of all. And you can see the USA in your Chevrolet, but don't just make it any Chevrolet. Make it a Chevrolet from this man's dealership. Ladies and gentlemen, Johnny Landoff. Listen to that crowd. They love you.
Oh, man, oh, man. Sit down, everybody. Stop that. I tell you what, a standing ovation. Man, does it get your heart pumping? Because I know it happens to you all the time, doesn't it?
No, it doesn't. But let me tell you who we have in the room here that you can say hi to. We have the one and only Dan Strauss, the other one and only Dr. Doug Pernikoff. We have Tim Woodburn, and we have Limey Phillips. Everybody, say hi to John Landoff.
Hi, John.
Okay, Doc. Let me address Dr. Doug. The last few weeks, Doc, for some reason, you've gone into these, I guess, supposed comedy routines. But I said, say hi to John, and here's what you did. Hi, John. Now, that wasn't funny, and as your friend...
I think it's hilarious.
John, please, come on, stop it. As your friend, I'm here to coach you and help you understand what's funny and what's just not funny.
I'm learning. I think you're funny, Doc.
John, send the check to me, please.
See, that's not funny.
That wasn't funny?
No, it's old, it's tired, it's old.
Doc, you're funny, but the check only to be for about $1.50. Is that okay, $1.50?
I'll pay for the parking.
Hey, that's a great routine we got going there. Laugh a minute.
How are you, buddy?
I've never been better. Well, that's not true. I have been better, mainly when I knew I was going to be working for the next 2 or 3 years. I was better then, but other than that, I'm fantastic.
Well, you should be working for the next 2 to 3 to 4 years because you're young and you're funny.
I agree with you.
We're gonna see each other tomorrow night, so we'll be doing some talking. But I tell you, we're having a great day today. I don't have their
Hold on,
name.
Let's clarify that. That makes it sound like we're meeting in a motel or something. Yeah. We're seeing each other with our wives for dinner.
No, we're going to dinner with our wives.
There you go. Right? There you go.
That's right.
Now, what people don't know is I'm going with your wife to another restaurant, then you're going with my wife. That's the story we don't tell.
Well,
it's
Frank,
an arrangement we have.
Oh, boy.
Frank, being funny now, that must be because you grew up in the South.
Oh, here we go. Here comes the Southern thing again. That's John's new thing. He breaks into the Southern accent.
Well, break into your awful Italian Bertarelli accent in response to him. Maybe he'll quit.
Bertarelli, what the hell you think you're doing with that accent?
That's the thing all the time.
Yeah.
Lasagna.
Yeah, lasagna. That's all you have to say. The word lasagna. Lasagna.
Close the light when you leave it a room.
You know what? I don't know. Go in the corner, Dan. That's it. I mean,
okay.
I'm sorry. You know, I felt sorry for you a few minutes ago when you said you don't have anything to do in a few days. He goes, where am I going to go? What am I going to do? I don't know. I said, Dan, you just come here to Johnny Lundup Chevrolet. You can hang out in the waiting room.
Well, hold on a minute. He has car sales experience. Dan sold cars. This is a no-brainer.
This is basically like an interview. So, Dan, have you sold cars before?
Yes, I have, John.
Yeah, Dan, do you have any bad habits? Because, you know, here at Johnny Lundup Chevrolet, we're all about customer number one.
Tell him you
customer
smoke.
Number one, taking care of everything.
Tell him you smoke.
I think the customer is number one, John.
John, I'm sure you have other salespeople who smoke. That's not a deal breaker,
Very few.
He smokes. He can't see, and he can't do math. He is completely unqualified to work for
him. He's perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. We have
I sold the car for $14.
We have calculators.
I'm not kidding. I would like to take a moment here, and let's do a sort of simulation of an interview with Dan to sell cars at Johnny Lundup, because that is not actually something that couldn't happen. That could happen.
Diane, your name Diane?
Yes, sir.
Is it Strash?
Yes.
So Dan, we're interviewing for a sales position.
John, what are you doing? John, I'm serious. I'd like to hear a few legitimate questions that would be asked of a potential salesperson.
Okay. Well, let me tell you, I have not interviewed a sales rep in 15 years. That's what Jimmy Sappho and David Moore and Mark Thornton and Sam Lundup, John Lundup III. But, you know, the first thing is, you know, what attracts you? What's the attraction for selling cars?
Money.
That's a good honest answer.
That's a good incentive.
And that's usually the best motivator
for
success.
We love to hear, Frank, if you'd just be quiet.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, we love to say.
Okay,
love
go
to
ahead.
No, hold on, John. Let me
ask a question for you. I love people. I love talking to people. I'm really good with people. People really believe me. Look at my face. I'm very believable. I'm a hard worker. You know what? I work hard for my customers, and I love cars. I love automobiles, trucks, SUVs, and I'm an easy learner. I can figure everything out pretty quickly, Mr. Lundup.
Now, Mr. Lundup, here's what I think, too, is when someone is buying a car, it's like one of the second biggest purchases in their life, besides a home or something like that. And it's something very personal to them because they're going to be driving this car for 4 to 5, maybe 6 years. But I'm going to try to get them in the car for 3 to 4 years so they can bring it back and trade it in and get another car. But the look on their face when they get behind the wheel of a brand new car from Johnny Lundup Chevrolet is all the thanks that I need.
Whoa.
You were hired, buddy. I'd hire you. And I don't even have a dealership.
I'm ready to sell you my car.
Here's a question, Dan. When can you start? Because you know you're losing your job a week from Thursday. So.
Friday.
No kidding.
You want to just dump this guy and start making money tomorrow?
Friday.
Oh, Dan, please say yes.
All right.
I think he has some good points here.
Frank, what are these people? What are the?
Are you serious?
He said he was.
What are the hundreds and thousands of people that listen every day, Monday through Thursday? What are they going to do?
They're going
to
all.
No,
I have. I know.
We all think. I know we're a society today that we think about ourselves, which is important. But what about all the people? What about?
Well, let me answer.
My business. What about my business?
Let me answer. Here's my idea, and it's not exactly completely a joke. All of these listeners together, we have a GoFundMe page. They buy a station. The station will have like 800 owners, and everybody throws in $500, let's say. And what is 500 times 800? Anybody? Like
400. 500 times 800?
40,000 or something. 400,000.
Yeah,
I think.
4,400,000. Wow, that's a lot.
400,000. Okay, that's not going to be enough. So let's say 2,000 people, and they do $1,000 each. That's $4 million. No, that's $2 million.
$2 million.
That'll do it right there. That'll do everything. The station, the equipment, marketing, everything. That's what we do.
Here's one guy.
1,000 owners.
What if 2 million people just did a dollar?
Well, that's a good idea.
All right, Mark Goldstein, I'm going to answer you right on the air because Goldmark Industries, I buy a lot of stuff, you know, shirts and you talk about, you know, apparel and signs. The mask, the Johnny Londoff, are you kidding me, mask?
Yeah.
Mark Goldstein. He goes, are you buying 590? Question mark. You would be great on the air all day.
Whoa!
Thanks, Mark.
Wow.
You're practically on all day anyway. All you got to do is add an hour, and you'll be on all day.
You know, but I tell you what, it is. I'm not going to tell you. This is the number one. We've been at this a long time, 80 years almost, Johnny Long, the AAA. And I remember we used to spend stupid money in that newspaper that we have, which is an excuse for a newspaper. But I can tell you this much, what we spend dollar for dollar, nothing comes close. Nothing comes close to the response that I get.
Okay, now, Mr. and Mrs. radio station owner out there listening, listen to what John just said.
How about the person that owns this station?
We don't know who that is.
He doesn't listen.
He does not.
Let me call him. I mean, you know, I think I have his number. I mean, it's just
and say what? And say
okay, me. And Baby Londoff was mad years ago when you quit working on Fridays. She's like, "What am I going to do?"
John, if you call the owner of this station while he's still the owner, what would you say to him? I mean, what would you say? It wouldn't even matter.
Hey, that's me. I'm going to talk to you because what's the deal? I mean, I've talked to other people that you've been trying to sell the radio station too, and I don't think you want to sell it. Deep down, I don't think you want to sell it. So, A, make a decision. You're going to keep it. If you're going to keep it, maybe you can find some investors that can help you run a radio station, okay? Because, with the app, the signal's not good. The signal's not good.
The signal doesn't, with the app, the signal doesn't matter. It doesn't matter anymore.
How many people now, because of you and the crew, AM and the PM, how many people know what 590 is who had no earthly idea what in the hell 590 was? Because one of the things I heard y'all talking about is sports. You know, this is a sports town, but there's also this FM station called 101.1 ESPN. I think they get a pretty strong audience when it comes to all-day sports.
Okay,
right?
I need you to give me 2 minutes because I don't want listeners to misinterpret any of what we're saying, and I don't want any misunderstandings here. So give me two minutes. Oh, here's the deal, folks. The station is owned by a guy named Randy Markell. Randy Markell made good on every single thing he said he would with me that was in writing. I have absolutely no beef, no gripe with Randy Markell. He can do whatever he wants with this station. But to address John's point about contacting him, the reason it wouldn't do any good is because it's his and he can do whatever he wants. He made it very clear about, my goodness, 2.5 years ago that he may have made a mistake. He didn't say it in these words, but he realized he just wasn't into it, and it became something more than he expected, and he wasn't that interested anymore in running it, in being hands-on, in being here. He didn't really want much to do with it at all, and that's when the process started of let's see if maybe he can sell it. And he has every right to do that. So I just want to make sure people understand something. This is nothing as horrible has been done to me. Had it not been for Randy, we may very well have been out of work for the last 3 years. He gave us a place to do what we do, and I think we do it here as well as I've ever done it with anybody, and he gave us a place to do that, and I am thankful for that. Do I wish it had gone longer? Do I wish he had wanted to be in the radio business and had embraced it and followed through with some of his ideas, which were very good in the beginning? Yeah, of course I would like that. I am not ready to quit. Will I starve? No. But I'm not ready to quit. I'm not ready to retire. I enjoy. Tim said something before we went on the air today that I've said many, many times. This 3 to 6 thing for me is my break every day. It's my stress relief. It's my, whew, now we can sit down and have fun with the listeners for 3 hours. The rest of my day isn't nearly as much fun or pleasurable as this is. So why would anybody not want to keep doing this? Of course I do. But it's not in my hands. My fate is not in my hands. The show's fate is not in my, it's in the hands of somebody out there who's smart enough to realize there is a show now available that if you're really smart, you'll jump through 1,000 hoops to get it on your station because it costs you nothing as opposed to paying somebody to host a show. And it is a mass appeal show. It's not political. It's not sports. There's no niche audience. There's no target. It's anybody who likes a good story and a good laugh and a good time and wants to call and join in on what we're doing. That's the show. And I can't imagine why anybody wouldn't want that show, but it's very possible they may not. So that's it. And I just want to make sure people understand that. I don't have a gripe in the world. Even John Hadley. John Hadley is the guy who made this happen. Who got us here, and he's the guy who ended it, and I don't have a problem with that either. Sometimes people do what they do because at the time they think it makes sense. It may not, and it may collapse and fall apart, but I don't fault anybody for doing what maybe somebody advised them to do, and it sounded like a good idea, or they want to take a chance. Okay, that's fine. It'll all work out. It will. But I have to say this to you, too, now that you, this is the first time you've ever been quiet for like 3 minutes straight. This is actually kind of odd. I want to say this to you. The other day, in fact, it was last, maybe Thursday, you said something on the air, and it really meant everything to me. You said the words, the only real loyalty that you have when it comes to advertising is to this show. And what that means to me is that if we do go somewhere else, I don't have to go in there empty-handed. I can walk in and say, look, here are the advertisers who are following us, just like all the listeners who will follow us. And it makes you a much more attractive commodity, a much more attractive piece of property or whatever when you walk in and you're essentially paid for already. So that means a lot, and thank you for that. And my hope is that that's exactly what will happen. I'll get a call or two or three or whatever. We'll have a meeting, and I'll say, well, here's what I know. The show is what it is. It's not going to change. It shouldn't. You shouldn't want it to. And we have the most loyal advertisers and the most loyal listeners of any show, I'm sure, in this town, something you probably can't even relate to, Mr. Radio Station Manager or Owner, because you've never had a show with an audience or with advertisers this loyal. But I have, and I know they're out there, and I know they'll step up and be ready when we move. So that's it. Thank you. I didn't know what to do.
John?
He's been silent.
I think he hung up 5 minutes ago.
He maybe left us.
I'm back.
He went and got a haircut while I was talking. And a shoe shine.
No, but I do have to go.
And his car wash.
I'll sell a couple of cars, probably some more AM and the PM. So give us a call, 314-837-1800, 314-837-1800, 24-7, 365 at Londoff, L-O-N-D-O-F-F, Londoff.com. And
go sell cars.
Show.
Go sell cars. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. You see what just happened there? It completely threw him. I got serious. He didn't know what to do with it. Mm. He didn't know what to do. He bailed. He didn't know how to come back to something serious. I have to do one more bit of business, then we're going to bring Dr. Doug in here. I don't see any calls. Let's light these phones up. You have one more day after today to talk to a guy who possibly could help you save your pet's life, for goodness sakes, or help you pick out the right pet if you're shopping. He is, of course, Dr. Doug Pernikoff. We'll get to him right after this word from Bertarelli, or Bertarelli, if you want to put the Italian twist to it. Bertarelli, 5 years ago, 2015, made a decision to get into the PPE business, not having any idea, and who could have, that we'd be going through this COVID mess. They'd have to be clairvoyant or something to have seen that. No, that's not why they did it at all. No one could have predicted this. They did it because they already had a solid reputation for supplying restaurants and kitchens with knives and with the sharpening of their existing knives on a regular basis. And they were really good at it. And then they got to thinking, well, these same people, these same workers in these restaurants and kitchens wear gloves. Let's see if we can save them some money on gloves. Let's get in the glove distribution business. So they did. And then the gloves led to masks and plastic face covers and plexiglass dividers. There were plexiglass dividers before there was COVID in certain situations. And then along came COVID-19, and they were poised and ready for it. They already had the warehouse. They had lots of stuff. Now, they've added stuff in recent years. Now they have it all. They have the hand sanitizer, not just the hand sanitizer in gallons and gallons and gallons, but the spray bottles, the pump bottles, everything you need to go with it. They have the plexiglass dividers. They have the plastic face shields. They have the gloves. They have the masks. They have isolation gowns. They have it all and a warehouse full of it. So if you need that stuff on a small scale or a big scale, you need a couple of dozen or a couple of million. I'm not exaggerating there. They have it. And then there's the other thing they do that most everybody knows about, and that's cutlery. Knives, other utensils, and if you look for Christmas, and I say Christmas because that's my holiday. I understand that Doc is Jewish and you have Hanukkah, whatever the holiday. When the gift giving part comes and you're sort of puzzled and don't know what to do, I can almost guarantee you that most people, unless somebody in the house is truly a gourmet cook, their knives are old and outdated, and they haven't replaced them. Get somebody a nice set of kitchen knives. They have plenty. They have a retail store on the hill on Marconi. So there you go. And once you get in there, you'll probably find another couple of great gift ideas. Maybe a pocket knife for somebody. Or a hunting knife. Or just various kinds of knives other than just steak knives and kitchen knives. And of course, you can always take your existing knives and get them sharpened. They sharpen about 2,500 knives a day. That's not a made-up number. That's, the on average, how many knives they sharpen per day. I thought the knife sharpening process was one that took a long, long time. It doesn't. If you do it right and you have the professional equipment, they can sharpen a knife and done before you know it, and it's sharper than it's ever been. So that's all you need to know, I think, about Bertarelli, except for their website, which is BertarelliCo.com. And if you don't remember how to spell it, B-E-R-T-A-R-E-L-L-I, don't worry about it. Because at least for the next week and a half, you can go to FrankOpinion.com, and there's a link to their site. Or you can go to our Facebook page, Facebook.com/AMandThePM. Bertarelli, BertarelliCo.com.
Is that doggy in the window?
That's my Andrea Bocelli. Not a very good one. It is time to check in with Dr. Doug. I have one call, which means there's room for more. Give us a call, 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. You know, when we move, we got to remember new phone numbers again.
Right.
Oh, I just now got these down after 3 years, and we'll have to, you know, come up with some new ones. Dr. Doug is brought to you by another wonderful company, wonderful product that will also be on board with us when we move, because they said as much when I spoke with them, and that, of course, is Window World, the number one selling replacement window in the United States for a lot of good reasons. You can find out more at windowworldstlouis.com. Still have lines open, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Hey, 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 how is everyone today?
We are terrific, doctor. How are you?
I am A.M. the P.M.
See?
I can't help it now. It just, it's fixed.
Oh, you could help it. You could.
Oh, would you like a little higher?
No, no, no. We're going to take Janice's call, and okay, if there are no other calls, then we're just going to talk and chit-chat, and I'm going to have you dig down deep, because I asked you off the air, do you have a favorite joke? And you're not a joke guy. You don't have a favorite joke, but if you think hard enough, maybe you'll come up with one. But let's take Janice's call. What do you say?
Sure.
Janice, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Hi, Dr. Doug, and I'm AM the PM.
Thank you, Janice. Hi, Janice. What you got?
Hi. Well, I have another thing to say, too, and I will follow Frank wherever he goes.
Oh, that's all right.
Way to go, Jane.
I was just going to say, Dan, you took the thought right out of my head. Blimey, do you know the song, I Will Follow Him?
From Sister Act.
Well, it was in Sister Act.
Sure did.
And you may want to get ready to pull that up from time to time. Janice, you have a really tiny voice. Are you a tiny woman?
No.
You're not? Well, you have a tiny voice. I thought I'd ask. What do you have for Dr. Doug?
Okay. I've had a Yorkie before, and I had almost 17 years, and she had cancer. But when we got her, the vet told me to give her Caro syrup for six months.
Give her what?
Caro syrup.
Caro syrup.
Wow.
And so I'm thinking about getting another Yorkie, and I've been told I don't have to do that. What is your recommendation?
I'm missing the point of your question.
Well, she was told to give this dog Caro syrup.
Right, Caro syrup, but then she said she's going to get another animal, but that's not
healthy. Yes, I'm going to get another Yorkie.
Okay, got it. So the Caro syrup is just pure sugar. So if that's going to give them a little bit of energy, eats too much, you can get diarrhea. It really isn't going to resolve, it doesn't sound like it's going to resolve the issue. So,
Yorkies don't need any energy. They don't need a lot of sugar either. So
yeah, I guess that's how come my mom said I should have named her Perky instead of Precious.
who told? Why did somebody tell you to give the other dog Caro syrup because it didn't have any energy, or why'd they say that?
Well, I guess because the pancreas, because they have so much energy, the pancreas would be working overtime or not working enough. I don't know. That's what I was told.
Is the dog a diabetic?
No, she wasn't. She was just a brand new puppy.
Oh. Was the person that told you this a vet or just a person that thought they knew what they were talking about?
No, the only
was a veterinarian.
Okay. We only use that when we have to. It's not a maintenance thing. But there is a product you can get at the vet or at the most pet shops. It's called NutriCal. And that's a very good paste, and it's got vitamins and stuff. So you might want to consider that. They have the same product in humans when a lot of cancer patients can't hold any food down. So they have something called Sustacal. Same thing.
And
that's only when the puppies are young and they're so hyper that they'll have little episodes of low blood sugar. And that's why you say you give them a little bit of Caro syrup. Okay?
Okay, yeah. She only weighed 2.5 pounds when we got her.
Yeah, they're tiny.
All right. Janice, was there anything else? Anything else?
No, that's all. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much.
I have a question for Dr. Doug.
All right. And now Dan Strauss, Doc.
Thank you so much.
Welcome.
We have a Morkie, which is a Yorkie and Maltese.
Named Diesel.
Diesel, yes. And he got sick the other day.
Put him asleep.
Threw up a couple of times, and then basically laid around for the entire day and part of the next day, and wasn't himself, just wasn't as active as he usually is. Can dogs actually get the flu or something like that?
Sure, but there's a lot of flu is just a trash can term.
Yeah,
right. So it's they certainly can get things. Typically, most viruses don't transfer from one species to another. Typically,
in other words, a dog couldn't get the flu from a human.
You know, some claim they do, but I don't know that it's ever been verified. But I guess the biggest question I have for you is, did you call the vet when it was sick?
No, we did not. We were just kind of waiting to see, because we were going to wait.
He was waiting until Thursday, till this segment. Yeah. If the dog made it that long, then he'd ask the question.
Yeah, if he would have stayed that way the entire next day, we were going to call the vet and take him up there and see.
Well, and I'm not trying to judge, I'm just teasing, but really, many, many, many people don't call the vet just to ask a question before you sit on something like that, because it happens a lot. And then a lot of times it's after the fact where they're trying to play catch up. And, so that's what I would say is to always ask the vet.
Okay.
You don't have to go there.
Which is something you have an opportunity to do right now. And all you have to do is call 314-821-0598. Hear that bubble? I got that throat bubble.
Oh, man.
I'm fighting through it.
No, you're going to do it.
No, I'm fighting
through
it. I'm fighting through it.
I'm ready for it. 314-821. It's natural.
No, let me finish. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. I fought right through it.
You're a hero, man.
That vocal bubble. Let's go to Don. Don, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Doug Pernikoff. I have a question about a little rescue Lhasa I've had for a few years. Mm-hmm. First of all, she's blind, which makes things a little difficult for her. Mm-hmm. But she actually looks like she's got the curvature of the spine. She's got a little hump on her back that, I would say it's about an inch out of line. I can feel her little bones, her little, you know, vertebrae in it. And she has a hard time standing and walking. She kind of, even when she's eating her food, she kind of flops down. She can't hardly stand up.
Wow, this sounds horrible. How old is this dog?
Well, I think she may be somewhere around 8 years old. Like I say, she was a rescue dog, and they haven't a clue about her history,
wow,
her background. So it's kind of hard to say.
Well, let me ask you something. When she goes into that collapsing mode, does she also lose kind of consciousness or awareness?
No, she doesn't.
Okay.
Although, she acts almost like she's, senile. It's just really weird. She does weird things, and she'll go out in the yard, and even though no matter what the weather is, she'll just sit down, and she'll just sit and kind of look from side to side, from side to side. And eventually she'll get up and she'll walk around and go potty. Although she's changed her potty habits a little bit. She used to be just perfect, and now she'll hold it all day to go urine, but it's hard to catch her sometimes.
Explain that at 8 years of age, a lot of those really small breeds, they have, if you took an x-ray of that back, you would see possibly disc that are kind of compressed. It's what we call a slip disc in a human. So that disc,
uh-huh,
the disc is kind of a pillow between the two bony vertebrae. And a lot of times in these little breeds, the structures that support that in its space break down, and they do actually have changes in their spinal conformation, just like you're describing. So you really need to get to your veterinarian. You really need to allow him to do a series of x-ray, and then he will have lots of different suggestions for you, either medications or whatever. And now the other thing you're describing, when they get kind of sloppy in their gait and stuff, they can also get in the brain what's called a vestibular syndrome.
That's what I was going to say, vestibular.
Vestibular.
Yeah.
So in that case, they simply can't keep their balance. So I don't think that's it. I think it's more likely the column of the spine has some real serious problems. You need to look into it. Okay?
Is there anything we can do about her little disorientation, any medication or anything?
Well, you need to have someone evaluate the dog with a good exam and decide if it's so much pain and discomfort all the time, does that have something to do with it?
The disorientation could be mental or it could be physical.
Right.
She's reacting
to the pain, yeah, or, like you said, it could be just, it's awful young to have dementia in that little dog at this point. But,
yeah,
again, a good exam is the best.
Well, Don, good luck. And,
all right, thank you very much, Doctor.
Sure, Don. Be well.
Do dogs get dementia?
Yes, they
do.
Yeah.
And how do they know that?
Yeah.
How do you I mean, in a human, there's tests for dementia. Here, repeat these names back. How do you test a dog?
They don't recognize their wives.
What? See, again.
Oh.
No, again, a failed attempt.
Oh, my.
I mean, a really
that
real...
That was a good one.
No, it wasn't. When you're the only one that says that was a good one...
It's not a bad one.
Not
you're a fantastic vet. I say stick with that.
Like a veteran.
I won't operate on any giraffes, and you know, stay off the comedy stage.
I can get a giraffe for us to work on tomorrow.
Well, I don't doubt that for a minute. Let's
have you
go.
Told Doc your dog joke?
Which dog?
The one you told me yesterday. It's a 15-second joke.
You were going to tell me one.
Give me a hint.
Where the guy says, hey, mister, does your dog bite?
Oh, no. That's actually part of a movie from Pink Panther movie.
Do
you know the scene?
Oh, I know that scene, yeah.
Tell everybody.
Well,
ahead.
I don't have a good memory.
Well, Peter Sellers is Clouseau.
Comedian.
And there's a dog next to a guy, and he goes, pardon me, does your dog bite? And he goes, no. And then the dog just tears his leg up. He goes, I thought you said your dog didn't bite. He goes, that's not my dog. All right, we worked. Thank you, Jeff. Worked in a dog joke. Let's go to Steve. Steve, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
Good, Frank. Thank you. I am AM and the PM.
Well, I can tell that in your voice. What do you have for Dr. Doug?
Kind of a different question. I've got about a 250-gallon fish pond that it's got a pool liner, kind of a that black liner. It's got a waterfall. And I was curious. I have a family of bullfrogs that live in there because I battled with the fish and the plants. And the problem was the birds were crapping in it and screwing the pH. So I just let it kind of go natural with the bullfrog. Last year, I put a, to keep the leaves out of it, I put like a netting over it. Where do the bullfrogs go? Because they can't get into the dirt. Well, how do they survive? Because they came back this year. Are those different frogs?
What's the ground cover like inside the pond? Is it?
He said it's a pool liner.
Oh, he's got the pool liner.
You trap the frogs in there?
No, they can get in. They're pretty amazing at getting in. But I don't know if they just...
They get in and they...
They probably find a new place.
They can't go in the ground, and I put that netting over to keep the leaves out. But they came back again. I don't know if they're different frogs or, but they get big. And I was just curious. I know they have to breathe, even though they kind of hibernate, but what do they do?
I'd ask the frog how deep the pond is. He'd go knee deep.
it's about two foot deep on the one end and about a foot and a half on the other. So it doesn't freeze solid. And it's got like a small waterfall that keeps the water circulating all year. I was just curious, how do they survive?
Well, your question is, where do they go in the winter, right? And they hibernate, right?
They hibernate, but I don't even think that they would stay in there if there's no mud or anything, detritus at the bottom of the pond.
No, they leave there and they come back when it's warm enough.
Yeah, or they come back another generation and lay their eggs.
Okay. Yeah, I was curious. Like I said, I put this small, it's about an inch netting over it, the whole thing.
Are they bullfrogs? Are they bullfrogs?
Yes.
Okay, eat them. That'll be the end of that.
Jeremiah was the bullfrog!
Oh, damn, please. Thank you, Steve. Thank you for the call.
I think Dr. Doug is funny, though.
Well, you're okay. That's one.
That makes one of us.
That's one. Thank you, Steve.
I send the check.
Thank you, Steve. Let's go to Tim is next. Tim, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Hello, Dr. Doug. AM and the PM.
How are you?
When I was married, no longer married, we had some Cocker Spaniels and I had a Springer Spaniel. And they developed spasms, and they needed the they needed medication for that. And I was just curious as to why would in that period of time were these animals inbred too much, or where could I find a Springer Spaniel that would be a lifetime? Thank you. That would be that would not have these kind of symptoms.
Thanks so much, Jim. I really don't understand enough about what you were describing.
They call them spasms, right?
You mean epilepsy? You mean like a seizure?
Yes, sir.
There you go.
Seizures.
Yeah. So seizures can be formed by lots of reasons.
Let me make a quick suggestion too. What is this animal again? What are we talking about?
This is a Springer Spaniel.
If he goes into those seizures, you might want to get one of those salads, one of those epilepsy salads. See, you thought I was going to say seizure salad, but I didn't. But I didn't. See, I didn't go there.
Holy cow.
What do you think, Doug, doctor? What do we got here?
So I was saying that seizures can be caused by lots of things, but genetics are one significant factor to predispose your animals to seizures sometime later in their history. But a lot of other things, long-term fever, so infectious diseases, you know, lots of things. So I think it was just the unluck of the draw. Next time you go to select a dog, you ask them, you take a list of questions, have your vet make it up with you. You know, does this animal or its family have any history of X, Y, and Z? And you're still not going to be perfect in your selection, but at least you have an opportunity to get something a little healthier.
Well, when I took this dog into the vet, the vet thought that I was using the dog for field field trials. The dog was so thin and lean and very, very physically fit.
Yeah, you got to feed him.
Turns out. Sir?
You just want to make sure you feed them enough, especially if they're real energetic. And those kind of dogs tend to be pretty high strung.
That didn't appear to be a problem as far as that was talking about, but I was curious as to if I should try to get another one of these dogs, what I would have to do to get one that did not have these issues.
Well, nothing's going to be 100% guaranteed, but as I said, if you go in with the, get some references for good breeders, interview each of them, look at their facilities if you can, and be sure you get a history. You just make a bunch of questions, just like you're in a deposition.
Gotcha.
All right.
Okay. Well, thank you so very much.
All right, Tim. Thank
God
you.
God bless. Yeah. You have a great day.
And I thank Tim for letting us pick at him and play with him.
I felt so bad.
I don't think he realized it.
I don't think he noticed.
Oh,
I
did. Oh, he did.
Oh, he did. Yeah,
yeah, he had.
He stopped and laughed a couple of times. I believe next would be Bob. Oh, no, I'm wrong. It's John. John, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Dr. Doug.
AM and PM. Hi, Dr. Doug.
Hi, John.
I got a general question for Dr. Doug and a very specific one for Frank.
Okay.
Just in general, I turned 65 not too long ago, and just in my lifetime, the way people treat their pets is gone crazy. We used to have pets. You just go get a dog down to pound or whatever. But I keep running into people that are like breeding these, taking two dogs to make one dog and spending all this money. And I know in the world of veterinarians, you know, that's a big ticket item. But is it just me? Am I old? Am I crabby? I mean, it just seems crazy that people are doing all this.
Well, it's John, it's a combination of things. Yeah, you're old. You're probably crabby. I'm crabby and I'm old. But here's the deal. You're right. When we were kids, they didn't buy wardrobes, summer and winter wardrobe for their dogs, okay? They also didn't, nobody ever had their dog's teeth cleaned. We never, ever took our dog to the dog dentist and had his teeth cleaned. And I cleaned them on a bone. That's how I cleaned them. And then our dog ate whatever we didn't eat. Here, come over to the table, scrape it off with a fork on the... All that has changed, and no one that we ever knew, if we ever knew anybody who paid like $3,000 for a dog, that person would have been committed somewhere. You're right. It has all.
These are people I know. These are family members. These are people I respect. But these crazy things.
I get it.
They send cards to the other dogs. The dog will send another card to the happy birthday other dog.
Okay, that's off the charts crazy.
Wow.
A dog sending a birthday card to another dog. Those people are nuts. Get them out of your family right now.
Happy birthday.
Okay, that's it. I'm over. Thanks, Frank.
I got
a real quick specific one for you, Frank.
Sure, I'm ready.
What is the history of Rat Boy?
The history of Rat Boy is we had an intern who worked with us at Dan.
KSD.
Way back, 30 plus years ago. Yeah. His name was Dave Jennings.
Yes.
He was a young guy. He was an intern. He left to go in the Marine Corps. And when he joined us to help us out with some things as an intern, I said, I like when I can to give people nicknames. So, like Limey, Trevor's name is like, you know, things like that. I said, do you ever have a nickname? And he said, no. He said, but a lot of people tell me I look like a rat. And when he said it, I looked at him, I thought, holy cow, you do look like a rat. He had little half whiskers that wasn't quite ready to shave yet, and he had a pointed little face. And that minute, I just started calling him Rat Boy. So that's the history of Rat Boy, and that is the actual voice. Here, hang on a sec. Hey, Dave, say that word.
Jeez.
Like, that's his actual voice. So that's the history of Rat Boy.
Wow, you've done it again.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
And actually, thanks. He became a probation and parole officer in the city of St. Louis. I don't know if he still does
that
or not.
That's not an interesting part of the story.
Yeah.
Oh. He said, what's the history of Rat Boy? He didn't ask what he's doing.
Good story, Dan.
Ah!
Good story.
Thanks, John. John and I play hockey together.
That's a good story, too.
Yeah,
thanks. You. John, anything else?
That's it. Thanks.
All right. Appreciate it. Thank you. Yes, Dr. What? You're raising your hand.
No, he was waving to your son. He's outside.
Oh, your son's outside?
Oh, and his grandson.
My son and my grandson are both outside. Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Wow.
Can I go let them in?
Yeah, let them in. What the heck? I don't know that they can come in here. We'll see how we're doing on time. Let's go to, is this John?
All right,
we finish
John
with
God,
John.
Bob now.
Go to Bob. Bob, hello and welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. And yourselves?
Never better.
I'm AM in the PM.
Hallelujah. What do you got?
Hello, Dr. Doug.
Hi,
Hello,
Bob.
Frank and the gang.
Bob.
Hey, Bob.
See, I have, this is kind of an off-the-wall question. We have a golden retriever, and for some reason, every time we turn on an air fryer to use the air fryer, it like beeps, and she gets all freaked out over it. She really doesn't even want to be in the house while the thing's running. Is it just that something out there that's a high pitch?
Did you get this dog? Did you have this dog since it was a little puppy?
Yes.
Okay. Here's what's happening. That dog, sometime, if you believe in reincarnation, that dog at one time in a previous life, that dog's grandfather or great-grandfather was eaten by an Asian family. And when that air fryer, when that air fryer kicks on, there's a flashback to a past life of being eaten by that family. And that's why the dog goes nuts. Doc, your take.
I thought the same thing.
PTS.
Exactly. you know, they do, they are very sensitive to high-pitched sounds and, other aspects of sounds like that. Like my dog goes nuts every time the vacuum cleaner's on and tries to attack it. So I don't know all the triggers for every animal, but anything that's unusual, not familiar in the environment on a day-to-day basis is something that's going to stimulate him.
My dog experienced a drone for the first time at my family camping event. He went berserk. He was scared. He got he went from angry to scared to angry to scared.
Well, think about it. I go, that's not a bird. I've seen birds. Right. What the heck is this? It's not an airplane.
Right.
Seen, that would throw off.
So you call it a drone.
Well, she doesn't. She'll go out of the yard. She won't come in the house if the thing's running. She won't come in the house.
Look, we had friends one time, and they had a pool. And every day at the same time when their pool filter kicked, that dog went insane. Now, you'd think after a year or two, no, it's like it had never happened before, and the dog went crazy, and it was very entertaining because my neighbor would say, get ready, about two more minutes, the dog's going to go crazy. And sure enough, the filter. So I think there are certain dogs at just certain frequency. Yeah, they just, it sets them off. Sometimes it's a motorcycle, sound of a motorcycle. We had a dog that hated motorcycles.
Yeah.
So no big deal, nothing to worry about.
So it's a high pitch just to their hearing. And
we don't know, but that would be a good assumption.
Yeah. Got it.
All right.
Okay, Bob.
So get rid of the dog or the air fryer or put the dog in the air fryer.
There you go. Three options. Thank you, Bob.
Thanks, gentlemen. Love the show.
Thank you.
Follow you wherever you go so
we
let people know where you're heading.
We appreciate it. We will. Facebook page. That's the key. Facebook.com/
okay,
AM and the PM.
Thank
you, Bob. We have one more minute, and that's not a lot of time. So what I will say to people is this. Next Wednesday will be, obviously, Dr. Doug's last segment on this station. So hang on, Doc. Hang on. It's very temporary. Everything in life is temporary. Nothing's forever. We'll be back, and then so you might want to think about that and get in next week to ask your question. Dr. Doug is brought to you, and I'm sure will be down the road, by Window World, the number one selling replacement window in the United States. And you can find out a whole bunch of great information at windowworldstlouis.com. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up, if you would, for Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Thank you.
My son popped in here with his son. And I don't know what that's about. I think it's just before I'm unemployed, he wanted to show him where I work while I still am working. And that's fine. I'll go out and check in with them. And you know what's next. Not one joke, but I'll try to work a couple of them in here at least. And then as we get closer to the end, I'll just start loading jokes up, even though you know that when we come back somewhere, you're going to hear them again like you have for 35 years. That's the beauty of jokes. People forget them. They're funny all over again. It's 5 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
The Illinois Fighting Illini play here, the home of the Fighting Illini in St. Louis.
KFNS Wood River, St. Louis.
NBC News Radio, I'm Brian Shook. It's another day of waiting to see if key players in D.C. can reach a stimulus deal. The Senate's at a stalemate on a new stimulus package, but maybe the House and Trump administration can find a breakthrough. As a result, stocks fell in the final hour of trading after going back and forth between positive and negative during the session. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell almost 98 points to 2810. The S&P 500 dropped 7 points to 3435. Former President Barack Obama is on the stump for Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden, his former vice president. Obama traveled to Philadelphia.